So from the point of view of awareness, any state of mind is a meditative state. Anger or sadness is just as interesting and useful and valid to look into as enthusiasm or delight, and far more valuable than a blank mind, a mind that's insensate, out of touch. In letting go of wanting something special to occur, maybe we can realize that something very special is already occurring and is always occurring, namely life emerging in each moment as awareness itself. Two ways to think about meditation. There are two apparently contradictory ways to think about meditation and what it's all about, and the mix is different for different teachers and in different traditions. One approach is to think of meditation as instrumental, as a method, a discipline that allows us to cultivate, refine, and deepen our capacity to pay attention and to dwell in present moment awareness. The more we practice the method, which could actually be a number of different methods, the more likely we are over time to develop greater stability in our ability to attend to any object or event that arises in the field of awareness, either inwardly or outwardly. This stability can be experienced in the body as well as in the mind, and is often accompanied by an increasing vividness of perception and a calmness in the observing itself. Out of such systematic practice, moments of clarity and insight into the nature of things, including ourselves, tend to arise naturally. In this way of looking at meditation, it is progressive. There is a vector to it that aims towards wisdom, compassion, and clarity, a trajectory that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, although the process can hardly be said to be linear, and sometimes feels like it consists of one step forward and six steps back. In this regard, it's not dissimilar to any other competency that we may develop by working at, and there are instructions and teachings to guide you all the way along. The other way of describing meditation is that whatever meditation is, it's not instrumental at all. If it is a method, it is the method of no method. It's not a doing at all. There's no going anywhere, nothing to practice, no beginning, middle, or end, no attainment, and nothing to attain. Rather, it is the direct realization and embodiment in this very moment of who you already are, outside of time and space and concepts of any kind, resting in the very nature of your being, in what is sometimes called the natural state, original mind, pure awareness, no mind, or simply emptiness. You are already everything you may hope to attain, so no effort of the will is necessary, even for the mind to come back to the breath, and no attainment is possible. You are already it. It is already here, and there's no purpose to meditation. It is the one human activity, non-activity really, that we engage in for its own sake, for no purpose other than to be awake to what is actually so. For example, how can you possibly attain your foot when it's not apart from you in the first place? We would never ever think to attain our foot because it's already here. Unless it's severed from the body, it's not a separate entity at all with its own intrinsic existence. It is simply the end of the leg adapted for standing and walking upright. When we are thinking, it's a foot, but when we are in awareness, outside, underneath, and beyond thinking, you might say, it's simply what it is. By the same token, how can you possibly attain sentience, knowing, original mind, when original mind, to paraphrase Ken Wilber, is hearing these words? How can you come to your senses when your senses are already fully operative? Your ears already hear, your eyes already see, your body already feels. It's only when we turn them into concepts that we de facto sever them from the body of our being, which by its very nature is undivided, already whole, already complete, already sentient, already awake. These two ways of understanding what meditation is are complementary and they are paradoxical. That means that neither is complete by itself. Alone, neither is completely true. Together, they both become true. After living with these two descriptions of meditation for a time, you will find that they slowly become comfortable old friends and allies. Practice gradually, or sometimes even suddenly, transcends all ideas of practice and effort, and whatever effort we put in is no longer effort at all, but really, you might say, love. Our efforts become the embodiment of self-knowing and thus of wisdom. But it is also no big deal. We are it more than we do it, because there's no more substantial difference between us and awareness than there is between us and our foot. We are never really without it.